Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. We will play the Friday news quiz in about 40 minutes from now, so plenty of time for you to pick who Max. You think is going to win, Max, Isaac Orr, or Sam Sansevier.
I'm just saying, if you like to win stuff, you want to pick me.
If you correctly predict the winner, you'll be eligible for a drawing for a $100 gift certificate from our friends at Twin Cities Cannabis, eligible to be redeemed online at their website or in any of their retail outlets in Hopkins or Lakeville.
The list is growing on Orange Man Vindicated.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to get into this coming up a little bit to later on prior to the news quiz. As a matter of fact, just a moment ago, we'll have to revisit this conversation once we're done with talk of Representative Tom Emmer. But we were four dudes in here just talking about our feelings and emotions.
Were we?
I felt very good. Well, okay, it was three dudes.
Yeah, Drew
was not part of that conversation, but we'll dive.
I'm a man's man. I don't have feelings.
We'll dive back into it, because so much in our life right now is being dictated, including our policies and politics, is being dictated by how someone feels based off of what somebody else says.
Well, there's a lot of Democrats right now in Congress who feel pretty upset at something one of their fellow Democrats said. Ilhan Omar sending out a tweet basically equating Israel and the United States with Hamas and the Taliban as far as committing atrocities all over the globe. And this has led to a public facing of the rift within the Democratic Party that we've talked about for a while, but has been widely underreported. Joining us now, Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Having some phone issues, so just want to confirm you can hear us okay, we can hear you okay, everything's all right.
Well, I don't know if you can hear me, but I can hear you all right.
You sound great,
Tom. Well, and you and Representative Tom Emmer, you two are definitely a man who is in touch with his own emotions.
I don't know where we're going to take that one, John, Friday morning.
All right, well, let's spin it back to what Drew had artfully set up that I have completely dismantled now. Get into Representative Ilhan Omar and her horrible, horrible comments.
Yeah, Tom, how is that playing amongst not necessarily Republican colleagues, but are you hearing any frustration, and not just with Ilhan Omar, but really the antics of the entire squad? It's got to be frustrating to some of your less insane colleagues on the left, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so many double standards here, and so, you know, talk about hypocritical reporting, talk about my grandfather's Democrat Party that can't seem to, you know, figure out right from wrong. In this case, she continues to make these statements, equating the United States of America to the Taliban and Hamas. Come on. This is reprehensible, but it also shows that her core beliefs are, quite frankly, nowhere near where the Democrat Party once was. And it's interesting how they can strip Republican members of their committee assignments in Congress. They can strip 700,000 constituents in a district of representation in Congress over something or things that people said or did before they were ever elected to Congress. And yet someone who is has an election certificate that has continued this type of divisive rhetoric and, frankly, statements that border, well, they're just confusing, guys. And at best, they're confusing. At worst, they are advancing something that has never ended well in world's history. So there should be some strong action taken against the representative from Minneapolis. She can hide behind gender, race, religion, all kinds of things, all she wants. But there's just a thing about good form, folks. You know, you can agree to disagree in a respectful manner. And in this case, that just isn't part of that representative's repertoire. So we'll see what they do on the other side. They really are divided, guys, as to how they deal with this approach. I noticed that the representative from the western suburbs has finally decided that he's going to start to call this out, but you know, nobody has stood up on the other side of the aisle and said this has got to stop. And really, that's what needs to happen. They need to police their own. I think the Republicans have done a good job on our side of trying to do that. on their side, they're going to have to start to do that at some point.
Yeah, well, we talked about it earlier, and we mentioned that Nancy Pelosi and a couple other had penned a strongly worded letter. So I'm sure, you know, that will help set things in order. A strongly worded letter usually does the trick.
You know it, Andrew. I mean, no one wants to get a strongly worded letter. We know a strongly worded letter to the leaders of some of these enemies of the United States has been so effective. And I'm sure that with this representative who continues to do these things, I'm sure it's going to make a huge difference. Not. Sorry. So, there's all the sensitivity I can give you, John. There it is.
Let's talk about inflation a little bit. I mean, it's not getting a whole lot of coverage right now, but we're seeing prices, you know, continue to increase across the board, you know, between supply chain issues, between bad economic policy coming out of the Biden administration and so on. It's getting to the point now where it's getting really difficult to continue to just afford your basic standard of living that we've all kind of gotten comfortable with, even with all the tumultuous news of the last year and all the changes to our lifestyle. But now that, you know, you start seeing these prices go up without wages, you know, going up with them. And do you think the Biden administration realizes that these policies that they're putting forth are unsustainable in the long run?
The Biden administration is a complete failure. And in a statement, Andrew, this is what you get when you put tax and spend Democrats in charge. And frankly, it's the socialist agenda that's taken it to a whole new level. These aren't my grandfather's Democrats from the 70s where it was just about tax and spend. Now it's this socialist agenda where it's open borders and closed schools. It's making sure that people stay home instead of going to work because the government's going to provide housing and supplements to unemployment enhancements. It's crazy. It's crazy. The consumer price index for May accelerated at its fastest pace in nearly 13 years. CPI in May increased over 0.5%, which is actually a 5% increase from a year ago. It's the fastest rate of inflation since right before the crash of 2008, and it's nearly a 13-year high. And you talk about, Andrew, what we're starting to see, whether with the grocery store, you know, we got a mom going out to buy groceries that just 6 months ago, the prices were much different. Let me give you a few. Gasoline is 56.2% more expensive than it was just 6 months ago. Transportation services are up by over 11% in the past year. Together, and this is the one you were talking about, Andrew, food and energy prices have increased almost 4%, which is the fastest rate since 1992. I mean, how about the one that I'm very familiar with? Lumber prices alone have risen 124% in 2021. I mean, we've also, and I know this one's near and dear to your heart, Andrew. Do you know that we've had a 13% increase for bacon?
Yes, I've heard that specific number, but trust me, I know bacon prices have gone up. I thought you were going to say ranch dressing, but bacon works too.
Well, yeah, and listen, even a 6% increase for clothes, you remember, we used to talk about this all the time when we worked together about how the government has this interesting way of trying to use core inflation versus everything else. Core inflation being those things that we use every day. It's the roof over our head. It's the food we eat. It's the clothes we wear. It's the energy that fuels the machines that transport us from here to there. They used to try and hide some of the other inflationary things that would happen by saying core inflation at least is staying, you know, steady at whatever the number was. Guys, core inflation is going crazy. The things that we use, the necessities of life, are all becoming more expensive. And I'm going to say it again. This is what happens when you put socialist Democrats in charge.
Is there anything that you know, on the horizon, you know, short of election, you know, overhauling a lot of these Democratic majorities? I mean, is there anything that can be done in the short term to help stem this, or is this a snowball rolling down a hill and it's not going to stop until it reaches the bottom?
Listen, take a look at the current administration. in that administration, that administration is littered with something called modern monetary theorists. Modern monetary theory literally believes debt does not matter. So I ask you, Andrew, how are you going to fix what's broken if you don't think debt makes a difference? I mean, if these guys think they can just keep printing money with a floating currency, and they wonder why these cryptocurrencies are actually jumping in value, well, because it's this idea of scarcity, and it's a you know, Bitcoin, for instance, is a lot like gold. It's got a limited amount. And people who are getting into that, if you think about it for a second, are literally protecting themselves in the event that these people don't understand how real monetary theory works. So how do you fix it? You're going to have to fix it with the election. In the meantime, it's going to be up to Republicans and others in the House and in the U.S. Senate who understand real monetary theory, that you ultimately have to pay the bill. That you can't continue to juice the system with more and more cash and push this these inflationary policies and expect that somehow this thing's going to end well. It's going to take the adults in the room over the next several months making it very clear, especially in the House, to the 29 Democrats that are in districts that Donald Trump either won or that it was decided within a very slim margin. I don't think people realize, Andrew, that the difference between Republicans in the minority at 213 seats and the Republicans in the majority at 218 was only 31,751 votes last fall.
Wow.
It was that close. So those 29 members, and I, you know, it's a phrase we've heard before, the animals tend to look at each other much differently as the water recedes in the watering hole. As we get closer to the moment of truth when they're going to have to vote for perhaps a reconciliation bill between October 1st and December 31st, a reconciliation bill that's loaded with tax increases, changes to capital gains rates, eliminating stepped-up bases, which would kill the family farm and many family businesses. As they're faced with that type of a choice, I think, you know, the goal is going to be to make sure that their own political survival is more important to them than walking off the end of the pier with Nancy Pelosi and her socialist Democrat majority. So we'll see. I think that's going to be the key. That, and we've got to start educating people on the street that you can't keep printing money and spending the way we are and not have a plan to bring down the debt and bring things back under control. Put people back to work so that they can create things, so that they can drive the government that we expect, as opposed to having government just suck all the air out of the room. We've got to start doing a better job of that too, Andrew.
Representative Tom Emmer, thank you so much for the time this morning, sir. Keep cool. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, good luck with your feelings, John. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom. Talk to you next.
Good luck.
Good luck with your feelings.
Yeah.
Boy,
he's
going to
need it.
Truer words may never have been spoken.
He's
going to
need it.
Seriously.
Good luck with your feelings.
I came across an article here, and there's some things that we've obviously covered on the show, but a couple of quotes here from Minneapolis Man Baby Mayor Mom Jeans Jacob Fry that we haven't gotten into. This is a story covering the attempts to reopen George Floyd Square, 38th in Chicago, from the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Okay. And they have a lot of the details that the Minnesota Reformer had, but there's a couple things in here. I just came across it that, I'm definitely curious to get Max Reimer and Isaac Orr's take just on what's been happening over there. But so we talked on the show about this. The city partnered with the Agape Movement, a Minneapolis based organization, to reopen the intersection.
Gave them a contract worth up to $359,000.
Yep. Nice. Multiple contracts with the city.
Great. Yeah.
According to this,
and lied about it too, which was kind of cool.
The funding. So there's a few details here we hadn't seen yet. Just kind of getting in a little deeper what Agape's been doing. The funding for Agape would cover transportation operating costs such as wages and safety services for reopening the streets. Okay, so we go back to the press conference on June 3rd when Jacob Fry commended the group for their work, and he said, "I really want to." Now, again, this is June 3rd when they first attempted to go and open up 38th in Chicago. He said, "I really want to hold up their leadership. They came to us as a partner. They came to us with a vision for community, and they came to us with a vision for how we move forward with a phased reconnection with community at the forefront." Okay, so that was the first time around. Mayor Fry added, the plan that they put together from Agape ensures that the fifth statue would remain in the square and that the location where George Floyd was murdered never has tires run over it again. But that certainly runs contrary to what they attempted to do this week on Tuesday when they reopened it back up again.
Well,
and there were cars that, not over the fist, but right, they were putting in the roundabout and, yes, and whatnot.
Yes.
Agape's plan with this, and this is a part of it that we hadn't gotten into before, right? And this comes from Steve Floyd, the co-founder of the group, no relation to George Floyd. Floyd said that his organization conducted surveys with residents and business owners in and around GFS and found that 90% of respondents wanted to see the intersection safely reopened, though he wasn't able to provide exact figures for the survey. Floyd said an increase in violence has been the main concern expressed by many residents near the square. One neighbor told him that he had experienced multiple break-ins during that year. The plan for GFS, according to Floyd from Agape, includes bump outs to protect the memorial, a roundabout around the metal fist, and stop signs to reduce speeding at the intersection. This is similar to the city's design that was presented earlier this year after the Department of Public Works launched a survey about the reopening of GFS. But again, this is an organization that's made up of ex-gang members that doesn't have, as far as we know, any experience doing any of this whatsoever.
To the best of my knowledge, no. I mean, as far as, you know, dealing with city works and trying to get an intersection reopened, any level of expertise, I mean, the survey that they conducted, you know, there is a way that you are supposed to conduct surveys to get accurate results. Any idea that they conducted it in that manner? He can't provide specific results that would lead me to believe no.
We're just paying the mob. We're paying the mob to tear down
it
and put up.
Certainly looks like that,
so,
doesn't it?
So that's the question that I have, right? Because if you are paying a group to help you clear out, keep tensions low, what have you, I know it, I don't know this, but I want to know what is the expectation that was set on them when we cut that $350,000 check? What could we hold them to, right? Because if we can't hold them to anything, what's stopping this kind of back and forth? We're tearing it down. We're putting it up. We're tearing it down. Oh, by the way, we just ran out of our retainer that you paid us. We're going to need another $350,000 check. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. And based on some of the calls that you guys have received in the last couple of days, you would think that George Floyd Square, that was the end of the rainbow. It was the most peaceful place on earth. Just, and it's not. There's murders happening. There's crime that has just overtaken it. And it's our own Chaz. It's an autonomous zone. It's being ruled by a different government. And I don't trust the city leadership to do anything about it.
You do not have constitutional rights within George Floyd Square. I mean, that has been clearly established. The media doesn't have access, can't go in there and do their job without being threatened, without having their equipment taken and sometimes destroyed. Your constitutional rights no longer apply there. And I would expect elected leadership within the city of Minneapolis to stand up for everybody's constitutional rights.
We'll revisit some of the numbers from Sam's Top 5 because MPD came out and asked for $5 million to cover overtime costs with many employees still on leave. And the shockingly low number of officers that we have right now it really does demonstrate how there is no light at the end of this tunnel currently to the situation that we're in with the rising crime in Minneapolis, with the opening of 38th in Chicago, and what's been happening in Uptown as of late. 651-989-5885 is the phone number. More of Justice and Drew coming up.
Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Your Friday edition of Justice and Drew continues on the Friday Roundtable. In the house, we got Max Reimer.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to win.
Famous podcaster. Still? No, not really.
I'm not even on Twitter anymore.
That's right. You got.
I'm a hermit.
Smart guy. And Isaac Orr from Center of the American Experience, our energy guru, at That Fracking Guy on Twitter.
The Fracking Guy.
I'm sorry.
That Fracking Guy was taken, but it's probably better that I have The Fracking Guy.
You should be That Fracking Bastard. Taken here.
A lot of people think of me that way.
Center of the American Experiment, this just popped into my email during the breaks. American Experiment releases a tool. Is that what they said when you came over here? We're releasing a tool?
Yeah. They let me out. It's like the bull at the rodeo.
Wow.
Yeah, so bad.
I liked it.
American Experiment.
Wow. I liked it.
Releases tool to calculate.
That's why Isaac is in here right now.
You're fascinating to talk to.
To calculate the real cost of renewable energy. What is this tool?
Yeah, so it's an Excel spreadsheet. It's a model that we've built in-house that allows people to basically just take the current grid that you have as constructed with different types of power plants and figure out what it'll cost to go renewable and keep the lights on. So the goal of this is to help other organizations in other states or in Minnesota do the same analysis that we've been doing here in order to bring some actual facts to this instead of just having the left make up whatever numbers they want in order to fit their narrative, and then everybody runs with it.
How do you counter like the AOC sort of crowd where, you know, you can present them with all sorts of cost and benefit analysis. You can present them with ROI data. You can present them with, you know, all of these numbers and facts, but then they counter with, yeah, but the planet's on fire and we need to do something now, no matter what it costs.
So you're never going to convince them because it's more of a religious thing for them. But if you go to low-income communities in North Minneapolis or South Minneapolis or in rural Minnesota, they care about the cost of their energy. So if they hear that their prices are going to be increasing and their reliability is going down, they're going to be a lot more open to that. So,
like, imagine so.
Climate change is just like a pastime for white wealthy liberals, basically, in my own opinion. It's like they have nothing else to be worried about, so therefore this is their cause.
Right.
It was interesting. We were talking. We're going to go through these Orange Man Vindicated stories quickly here in a moment before the news quiz. We were talking off the air, and we had a call yesterday. Max had brought it up from Amy, who called in. Drew, you made a great point, by the way. I hadn't thought about it because we had two calls in a row of individuals defending 38th in Chicago and George Floyd Square. They both used the language of, I was just scanning the radio.
Yeah, they both started off their call with, you know, I was just hit scan. I've never heard your show before, yeah, and I don't like
it. Hilarious.
Yeah, but
scanning AM radio.
Exactly. Yeah. One, who scans
scan on AM?
Who scans anymore at all these days, for one?
You know what happens when you press...
And then two, who scans AM radio?
When you press scan on AM radio, what it does is
it never stops.
11:30, no. You press it, it goes back to 11:30.
Yeah, it just come on. And I'm almost bummed out that we like zeroed in on that, because I want those people to call more, because yeah, I'd like to hear from them.
They probably were scanning on FM. And, you know, if you're in the cities, that 103.5
signal, that's right,
is strong enough to get stopped by the scans.
No, they were scanning AM.
Yikes!
It's the only reason I'm here. I was scanning in. I just scanned in this morning. I
just stumbled onto the property.
Yeah.
But we landed on something interesting. We were kind of looking at the situation with 38th Chicago and the autonomous zone and Amy's phone call. And in some sense, and I think this is the mentality of an individual like Amy, the magnitude of how horrific that video was. I mean, it really comes down to the power of that video. I think most of what we've dealt with since then has been that lengthy, over 9-minute video where most everybody saw what happened to George Floyd.
And especially during the trial when you had to watch it 30, 40, 50
right.
times.
So I think for a lot of individuals who simply, we talk about feelings and emotions, that can't move past that, even with a conviction of murder, right, on all charges, there's a lot of people that go, that in their mind, either consciously or subconsciously go, yeah, maybe it's not right that people have closed these streets down and there's an autonomous zone and what's happening there, but it's still not as bad as what I watched. And I think there's a portion of people, it's not a clear at all, it's not an excuse, I'm just saying there's a lot of people that just simply cannot move past that, and their rationale will always default, regardless. It doesn't matter to them, to a person like Amy, who thinks that they should just work with everybody in there who is conducting illegal activity before they go and open anything up. They've got it stuck in their head that it's still not as bad as what happened in that video that they watched.
And because they were so personally impacted by it, the fact that, you know, we have had a trial and that Derek Chauvin was found guilty of murder and is serving time and is being punished accordingly, like, that doesn't matter, because that did not assuage their feelings. That did not make them feel any better. They're still upset. They're still mad. They're still angry. So they don't feel like justice has been served yet. There's no justice yet. Yes, there is. That is the justice system. That is the process. The other officers will be on trial as well. This is the process for justice that we have in this country. If you don't like it, that's fine. But you can't sit here and say that justice has not been served yet, because it has.
And that's where you come up with vague ends at that point, where you can't define what will make you happy. We talked about it before. I mean, you could summarily execute the officers or whatever, and these people still would not be happy. There's no quenching that kind of bloodthirsty nature of what's happening right now. The only solution in the short term especially is more cops on the street, or in my opinion, a military presence to supplement that. Yeah. Because
we've got to get the bad people off the street.
We can't have children dying.
That should be the first and number one priority, is get the bad people off the street. And you only do that with law enforcement. And to your earlier point, you know, it doesn't help when the attorney general of this state, who prosecuted the case against Derek Chauvin, goes out there and says, well, this is accountability, but not justice. What are you doing, Keith Ellison? Yes. What are you trying to foment here? Do you find that to be helpful? Do you think you're helping the situation when you go out in the public and you say that the case you just prosecuted, that you just successfully prosecuted to a murder conviction, isn't justice?
It's by definition justice. By definition. It worked. The system worked.
Exactly.
So, speaking of George Floyd, okay, demonstrations on June 1st, 2020, right, that were sparked by the May 25th murder of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, right? This is what took place at Lafayette Park in D.C. So this is one of three quick ones we'll do here, right? So an internal government investigation has found no evidence that those protesters who were protesting on behalf of George Floyd, right, were forced out of the park near the White House last year when they to clear the way for then-President Donald Trump to pose for photos outside of the church. It ended up being Trump ended up hailing the exoneration after the watchdog found that D.C.'s Lafayette Park was not cleared for a Bible photo op. As a matter of fact, it was something that was scheduled days beforehand to have that park cleared. But yet the media ran with it, and it was one of the orange. It was one of the biggest of the orange man bads of the moment at the time.
Yes, people were very, very mad about that for about 48 hours until they were mad about something else. Yes. They haven't forgotten.
Nope.
You know, and you still hear it brought up, and regardless of Trump being exonerated by this report, people will still bring it up and they will still blame Trump, because now that it's canon. You know, it's Trump right. head canon now.
I couldn't believe, I could believe, when I was doing the research on that story, so many different outlets spun even this report.
Yeah.
Like the Washington Post was, questions arise over Lafayette Park, D.C. clearing. That was like the
classic.
It's the New York Times.
Questions arise.
Yes, the New York Times had something similar.
Why do we suck so bad? Was one of the questions that arose.
Here's another one. A new study shows the controversial drug hydroxychloroquine, touted by former President Donald Trump, increased the survival rate of severely ill coronavirus patients. Actually, it increased the coronavirus survival rate by almost three times.
Yeah. Including the husband of our senior senator, Amy Klobuchar.
Still bothers me. That one still bothers me.
Yeah, because she was so quick to go out there.
It's the most nefarious, and people like to say, oh, Amy Klobuchar, so moderate, so likable, whatever. She gets 60% of the vote every time she has an election here. And to go out and know that a drug saved your husband's life, and then I think after going on that press conference and talk, or not press conference, but that interview and talking about what a miraculous comeback he had. She was making fun of Trump at an event for saying hydroxychloroquine was working. It's like to go out and do that after you know that it saved your husband's life is the most politically cynical thing you can do.
It's absolutely craven. But she wanted to be vice president, so.
Well, I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. She's the least likable person on the planet. Maybe that's just my own opinion.
No, it's not your own opinion.
Yeah, she's up there.
Yeah, she's terrible. But that just took it to a new level for me to know how craven a lie that she could be capable of making.
It's when you guys are supposed to cheer.
And then we need to move over to the. I know we need to move over to the news quiz. I want to make one quick point here, and just we'll do the headline version of these two stories. So the third one we had on Orange Man Vindicated was this came from the New York Post, and we won't have time to get into it now. But there is damning science strongly suggesting that COVID-19 is a man-made monster. Right, that it happened in a lab for maximum ineffectivity before hitting the outside to catastrophic effect. This is according to two experts they've come out and said, and they're looking at a lot of sequencing inside of the actual virus to determine this. Okay, so again, this is another add this to the list of things that Trump's been vindicated on, and conservatives have been because you were a wacky conspiracy theorist if you even right. entertained the idea.
You were Alex Jones. You were treated like Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. In some corners, you still are. You're treated like an Alex Jones if you bring up the possibility that, hey, they were working on bioweapons in Wuhan, and it's possible that they could have mutated a corona, right.
And something that will...
People got banned for it.
Well, and something that we'll circle back, we'll Jen Psaki this at some point in time, and why these stories are important to expose, because you have a story here of a St. Cloud law firm that was targeting pro-Trump employees for firing, according to a lawsuit. Yep. Well, why do you think that is? It's because of all these things that we just talked about. It's all these lies that people perpetuated against the president and then attached to anybody who went and supported him. Yep. And people were being and continue to be targeted for that.
Chiron up on Fox News right now. Sorry, caught my eye. $400 billion in COVID jobless money may have been stolen.
Huh.
Just weird. Stolen. $400 billion stolen.
What is $400 billion?
Oh, it's amazing. All right, Friday News Quiz coming up next. Still got a few minutes to pick who you think is going to win, Isaac Orr, Max Reimer, Sam Sansevier, are your contestants. All correct guesses will be entered into a drawing for a $100 gift certificate from our friends at Twin Cities Canada. All right, final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, and that means one thing and one thing only. It is time for your Friday News Quiz. Your contestants this week, the lovely, talented, and radiant, and effervescent Samantha Sansevier. The fracking guy on Twitter, our energy guru, Isaac Orr from Center of the American Experiment, and Max, just the guy we know.
The snacking guy.
Yeah. I mean, not really like a podcast or anything anymore. Just a dude.
Just a dad.
Just a dude that comes in every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, straight. I am straight.
Okay. Cool. Nobody asked.
On Twitter.
How is your child?
My two children are good.
Your children are good. Good.
I'm doing an okay job at that. Hey, Sam is the overwhelming favorite right now on the news quiz.
It's true. It's true. We do have a few picks coming in for Isaac, which excites me. I like when the newbies get some picks. Mm-hmm. We have three rounds in the Friday news quiz. Your first round is your audio round. Six headlines or six audio clips. We'll play one for each of you. You have about 6 or 7 seconds to tell us who's speaking and provide relevant context. If you can't buzz in and those points can be steeled, we'll have the parody song round and the headline round as well coming up.
Drew, what is our order? What is our gameplay order this morning?
It will go Sam, Max, then Isaac.
All right.
All right. Audio clip number one. This one is for you, Sam. Who's talking?
Do not come. Do not come.
That is Kamala Harris. She's speaking in Guatemala.
That's true.
Telling people to not come to the border.
Let's go with that. All right, let's go. Max, here is audio clip number two.
A significant number of Democrats have indicated we're not going to change the rules of the Senate in order to advance a radical left-wing agenda.
That's Mitch McConnell, and he is talking about the filibuster and saving it or ending it.
That's also correct. 2 points, Max. Isaac, audio clip number three. Who's talking and what are they talking about?
Moving the state patrol is a simplistic answer to a more complex problem.
That's Governor Tim Walz talking about why he doesn't think we should be moving the state patrol in to limit crime in Minneapolis.
Which is ridiculous. He doesn't have a solution, yet he's going to go and call that one simple.
Do we not get his Safe Streets initiative plan yet?
I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't heard the announcement for the announcement.
They're working on it.
All right, Sam, you ready?
Audio. Oh, yeah.
Clip number four.
I'm still the hope and change guy.
I'm sorry. I was kind of talking over it. Could you do it again?
I'm still the hope and change guy.
I don't even know.
Max.
Buzzing in. You gotta say your name.
Isaac's got a longer name than the rest of us, too. He's at a disadvantage. But that's Barack Obama talking about...
I knew that it was something Obama would say, but I didn't think it sounded like him.
But it was.
That's what threw me off. Well, for the record.
That's why Max is getting the point.
That's fine.
Thank you for letting us know why you got it wrong.
Max, letting you know. Audio clip number 5.
So in Florida, we chose freedom over Fauciism.
That's Governor Ron DeSantis talking about the fact that they didn't close down in Florida. Or that they reopened quicker.
You're not getting a point. All right. It's too obvious.
All right, Isaac.
I disagree.
Isaac Orr. Last audio clip.
A lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science.
That's Fauci mad that people are reading his emails and calling into question what his credentials.
That is correct. After round one, good showing, everybody, except for Sam. After round one, it's 4 points, Max. 4 points, Isaac. 2 points for Sam.
But what happened to Obama? Why does he sound like, I don't even know. It doesn't even sound like Obama.
Why does he sound like Obama?
He doesn't sound like Obama.
He did sound like Obama, though.
He did not.
Yeah. We have 3 parody song snippets that we will play for you. If you can tell us what news story is being referenced in each one of those snippets, you will be awarded a point.
I've been looking forward to this all morning.
I'm sure you have. I'm not terribly proud of this batch.
I haven't heard them yet, so.
Yeah, I wrote all of these ones. I shouldn't say that.
You should be proud. I'm sure they're great.
Are you singing them?
One for Sam. No, John sings all the parodies.
Oh. Yeah.
Score a touchdown in Bavaria with cheerleaders in later hosen.
That's it?
words. What?
I thought that was beautiful.
I couldn't believe it. Thank you. My singing skills. I was expecting it to have to sing a lot more, but I didn't.
That parody song is about the NFL exploring more options to have more games internationally in Europe, in Germany.
There we go. I didn't know how much I needed to give.
Well,
you weren't there yet.
There was like 4 words, and one of them was very specific to German. Okay.
That started this segment strong.
All right, Max Reimer, here is parody song number 2.
Don't donate cash for Abuela. The truth is she's just a liar.
Not a lot of words in this one. This parody song is about the $100,000+ that was raised for AOC's abuela after she said that.
So bad.
Oh my gosh, that was so bad. I was embarrassed to sing it.
Isaac Orr, good luck.
Well, she's never been to Europe, but she's been to Guatemala. Says root causes are her mission, but she won't go to Arizona.
I'm sorry. That's all I can say.
I just wanted more words.
Three Dog Night was the first concert I ever went to.
Kamala Harris, a good concert to go to for your first. It's Kamala Harris refusing to go to the border.
Were you in a rush?
Yeah. It's a long day. There's a lot going on. Max and Isaac tied at 5 points each. Sam pulling up the rear. It's just 3 points, but a ton of points available in the headline round. We have 12 headlines, multiple blanks in some of these headlines. As soon as you think you might know what some of those blanks are, buzz in with your name. Go ahead. We'll start with headline number one.
All right. Headline number one. Again, buzz in with your name. Here we go. Facebook suspends blank for 2 years.
Sam. Trump.
Headline number two. St. Paul City Council person dismayed at the end of blank.
Sam. The mask mandate.
Headline number 3. U.S. government to buy 500 million blank to share globally.
Max.
Isaac.
Max. Vaccines.
Which ones?
Pfizer.
Ooh.
That's correct. Specific on that one.
Oh, I was just going to say COVID-19 vaccines. Duh.
Polio.
You know what?
Smallpox.
You know what, Isaac? I'm giving you a point.
What? Jeez,
this is what I'm talking about.
That was bonus points.
This is where it goes. Yeah.
Rigged game.
Headline number 4. Blank delays takeoff of White House press plane.
Sam. Cicadas.
Don't say it like that.
Don't look at me.
Yeah,
like
I know.
That.
I was a stone's throw away from taking away a point just for singing it.
I'm gonna throw a stone at you if you do that.
Oh man, take a point away.
Yikes! 6 points each. Three-way tie at the moment. Everybody was 6 points.
Okay. I had a joke. I'm going to let it go. All right. Part number five, right? Mm-hmm. Linked text messages show blank.
Max.
Hunter Biden saying the N-word. There you go.
The N-word, yeah. Headline number six, two blanks in this one. Two blanks to fill in. Blank ends classes 2 days early.
Sam.
St. Paul ended classes. They ended their school year 2 days early because of the heat wave.
Accurate.
Headline number seven. Iowa governor signs law banning
ballot harvesting. Well, effectively banning ballot harvesting.
Baby name blank.
Sam. Karen.
Plunges in popularity. Sam running away with this
one.
Yeah,
seriously. All right, number nine.
Step up your game, boys.
Mm.
Blank sparks attack at Kansas grocery store.
Max. Masks.
Sam?
Blank sparks attack at Kansas grocery store.
Wasn't it a sandwich?
Close, though.
No.
Isaac, anything?
Take a stab at it.
Oh, man. No.
You can do it.
I got nothing.
Chick-fil-A sauce. Chick-fil-A sauce is what we were looking for.
Headline number 10. Doomsday preacher claims blank is a sign of the apocalypse.
Sam. The solar eclipse.
That's wow. Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Well done.
All right. So number 11. Blank is confirmed to be gender fluid in new series.
Max. Loki.
That is correct. Yeah.
I didn't know it was in there. I didn't even catch
it. It's an Easter egg.
Oh, yeah, is it?
It's an Easter egg. When they show his identification card in gender, it's right next to it. It says fluid, and of course, you know, the internet went wild.
Yeah. Headline number 12. 2 points available here. Blank and blank win best video at Country Music Awards.
She's looking at me like Isaac. I should know this. I don't.
Justice and Drew.
Yeah,
you think him that
right.
One?
He's right.
It's not right.
All right, my new strategy is just make up funny answers. It Max,
works. That's it's not worked in the
past.
Work.
It's no. Worked in the past.
Sam, nothing?
If you make us laugh, there's a good chance you're gonna.
Max, I'm gonna say Chris Stapleton and Luke Bryan.
No, it was John Legend and Carrie Underwood.
Yes,
John Legend
and Carrie Underwood. And with that, okay. Sam taking home another victory.
Wow.
11 points, making a comeback in the headline round of Max finishing with 8 points, Isaac with 7 points. Solid showing all around, fellas. Not bad, but Sam taking home the big win with 11 points. Everybody who correctly predicted that Sam would win the news quiz, keep an eye on your email or your direct messages on Twitter. We'll notify you if you win that $100 gift card. And thank you to our friends from Twin Cities Cannabis for providing the prize.
It's like the entire internet that predicted that one. So congrats, internet.
We now enter into the portion of the show where we find out whether or not we've done a job appropriately, and we can only find that out with what Sam learned today.
At about 6:40 this morning, I learned that Minneapolis lost almost 25% of its sworn full-time workforce compared to 2020. A little after 7 a.m., I learned that Amelia Clark is writing a comic about a superhero that gets her powers from her period, and I hate it.
It's a sword of iron.
Oh, I hate it.
Feel the flow.
I hate it so much.
Platelets assemble.
Around 8 a.m. this morning, we had Tom Emmer on the show. I always learn things from him. I don't know. If you missed any of those conversations.
Does he have wings?
What would the wings look like?
It's like a magic carpet maxi pad.
I get it.
Oh,
wow.
Get it.
I get it.
Funny.
Wings.
Jokes.
I didn't get that. Okay. If you missed any of those conversations and want to catch up on the show, just find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew. What Sam Learned is brought to you by Advisory Partners. Learn more about how they can help a business at advisorypartners.com.
Tear down those uterine walls.
Ow.
I just felt like I had to.
I
didn't have a joke. I just wanted to participate. I felt left out.
I hate everything about that. I'm no longer an Amelia Clark fan.
Hey, guys, hope you have a great weekend. The heat wave should be coming to an end. It should be a little more tolerable outside these next couple of days. Have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much to Isaac Orr. Thank you so much to Max Schreiber for coming into the news, because we're back Monday, 6 to 9. I don't want nobody.